It's time to talk closed-end funds because John Cole Scott, Chief Investment Officer of the Closed End Fund Advisor, is here. It's going to be an interesting one today on the Money Life Market Call. Yes, it's the Money Life Market Call where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their jobs, what they look for in investments, what they see happening in the market right now, and what they like and dislike. And then we put them to your test with a little hold it or fold it where they can say if they like or dislike things that you guys are looking at. My guest today is John Cole Scott. He is Chief Investment Officer at Closed End Fund Advisors. Easy. CEFAdvisors.com. They have a companion site, CEF Data, Closed End Fund Data, CEFdata.com. And I wholeheartedly suggest if you are a closed end fund investor and you do not hear us talking about the closed end funds you are interested in today, but you kind of want to get a sense of what John would have been saying, I encourage you, go to the CEFdata.com website because there are plenty of tools there that can help you see, hey, let me see what John would have said about my fund. Let me enter it in, get some information and more. By the way, John is on Twitter. He's at John Cole Scott, but right now he's on Money Life. John, welcome back to the show.
So glad to be here, Chuck.
So we always start with methodology, and in the case of closed-end funds, we have to add a little explanation as well in terms of why closed-end funds, because you could pick anything. Closed-end funds have very specific attractive and then sometimes unattractive characteristics for investors. So why closed-end funds first, and then what do you look for in the closed-end funds that are going to appeal to you?
So remember, closed-end funds are a fixed capital structure, which means the share count is relatively stable versus the open-end fund or exchange-traded fund wrapper. And so it allows the managers to do, historically, a better job at being an active manager with illiquid guts. They also have the ability to create leverage at a relatively low cost. They can do preferred equity of their own stock, which is usually a great way to lever the portfolio. They can also do credit lines and swaps and whatnot. So illiquid guts, active management, and prudent use of leverage is kind of the flagship of the closed-end fund universe. They're 125 years old in the U.S. and 150 if you include the London funds. So they're definitely not a new idea, but I think they're focused mostly on the income component for the U.S. market. And as we think about them, we always like to balance that fundamental work of the manager with that structural difference of being listed on a stock exchange, where you can have discounts widen, discounts narrow. And that's the difference between the market price or what you buy and sell the fund for, and then the asset value, the results of the manager's work.
So when you look at general market conditions like we've got now, where the market is at or near all-time highs, what does that do for valuations in terms of closed-end funds? I mean, do we tend to find that as the market gets to highs, we see discounts on closed-end funds narrowed and potentially premiums coming into play? Or is it really case-by-case, individual basis, so it's a mixed bag when the market gets to a high?
So remember, you know, at CEF Advisors, we're looking at the whole closed-end fund, and we also include business development companies as a closed-end fund-like structure. There's roughly 12 equity sectors, 12 bonds, sorry, 6 equity, 6 bond. And the U.S. equity is only one of those pieces. It's an important piece. That's a big part of the capital markets. But you have to remember that, you know, muni bond funds, because of their duration exposure, by buying longer bonds and having leverage, where duration figures are typically, you know, 8 to 12 is not uncommon, have been hurt this year. Discounts are very wide. And then you've got these covered call funds that are equity focused, so they're riding the rails of the U.S. stock market, but they tend to have a tax sensitive dividend and a lower beta versus the S&P 500, and they're at relative highs. And so it's a structure where you've got different ebbs and flows. At a whole, the liquid universe is at about a 3.5 discount, and the five-year average is just under 5%. So holistically, we're a little narrower than normal, but we're by no means crazy cheap or crazy expensive.
So what stands out to you right now as a poster child for the methodology?
So this, you know, thinking about funds, I think are interesting. It's, you know, there's a story or an asterisk required. Aberdeen, at the behest of an activist investor, kind of merged a lot of their country funds. It ended up being a ticker symbol that's now known as AEF. Historically, it's the Chile Fund. So remember, data more than about 6 months old is a different neighborhood altogether. But it's a nice tactical fund repurposed in the market from this activist-pushed outcome that, to me, is a great way to tap into a solid global manager, Aberdeen Investments. The discount right now is very wide. It's around 14. And I think that, you know, being a contrarian allows you to step into wide discounts if you have an opinion that the global markets are going to go up eventually.
Okay, so that's AEF. What else stands out to you?
So on the U.S. side, we have a kind of a relatively boring fund, DNI. They did a very annoying rights offering that dilutes shareholders, which pisses people off. But then they raised their distribution to around 6%, which is very favorable in the market. And so to me, I think you've got a 22 discount right now because it's a very frustrating experience from that rights offering. But it's a great way to have exposure to the U.S. market. You know, it could go higher, but we're worried about it. Here's a great way to get, you know, 80 cent dollars for something that, to me, can go up with equity markets going up.
Okay. I love the annoying shareholder. But that's the kind of thing. I mean, the funny side is probably no place more than in closed-end fund investing. Do you really need to look at that paperwork? I think, you know, with traditional funds, you wind up seeing stuff and you go, okay, I'm a shareholder. Do I need to pay attention to it? I think I can tell shareholders in most cases, yes, you want to look, but you don't need to pay that much attention. Closed-end funds, you really want to pay attention.
You do. You got to be thinking about what the activists are doing, what tax law sees. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces. It's not rocket science, but it's not as simple by the manager, by the sector.
So we've talked about AEF and DNI. What else stands out to you right now?
There's another fund that pissed off shareholders for a different reason. EXD is an Eaton Vance fund. It's kind of bucketed with the regular equity option funds, but it basically has guts of taxable and tax-free bonds, short duration, but then does an option overlay of mostly calls on the S&P 500. And so it's an alt-income style fund, but they had too high of a yield that they cut dramatically, and now they're at, again, a 14 discount. But if you're trying to hedge equity risk, the calls will give you that. And if you're trying to get some sort of bond exposure without a lot of duration, very specifically during the right market environments, the fund does well. Now, if you bought and hold it since inception, you are a very sad shareholder. But it's a good tactical alt-income fund, and to me, a 14 discount is when there's, you know, blood in the streets. You step into the discounts when you want to be in the fund.
But that also means that you're buying this because you like the discount. You're going to play it while the discount is in effect and hopefully then starts to narrow. That gets you up there. But you're not buying and holding this because if it didn't work as a buy-and-hold investment before, even though that's what it's designed to be, you don't really believe it's going to be a great buy-and-hold investment going forward, do you?
You want to own it when you want the guts of the underlying bonds and the overlay of the S&P working for you. And so basically it's when your opinion changes on the S&P and the yield curve and whatnot is when you would change your allocation of this fund. The discount capture is frosting. It makes it easy to own a fund that has been hard to own. Just buy it for 3 years and not care about what's going on in the macro environment. You've got to use funds like EXD, which are nice uses of the closed-end fund wrapper, when you have an opinion on what's going to happen and you want to tap into that opinion.
So it's the Eaton Vance Tax Advantage Bond and Option Strategy Closed-End Fund. That's EXD. Because we're getting sell strategies in while we're talking buy strategies, I can either let you talk about something you moved away from or we can go with something else you like right now.
There's another fund. So GHY is a Prudential. It's a very solid manager in the high yield space. It's a shorter duration fund, a 3 and change duration. It's harder for an activist to attack because of the way its voting is required. It requires a plurality of vote. And so it had gotten to a 16 discount. It's still at a 14 discount. But if you're trying to get a 7 yield with a relatively low duration, knowing that it's going to be hard for like a Saba or a, you know, River, the other players in the space to really focus on, it's a good manager that just the market has disliked the sector and it's not fancy or sexy and so it just sits there. And I think to me, the high yield bond sector at a 14 discount is very attractive today.
Okay, so PGIM, Global Short High Duration, Global Short Duration High Yield, that's GHY, that's another one to look at. We've got time for one more.
Okay, I'll be quick. So the munis are the biggest sector, so you have to talk about munis. KTF did another thing, again, the dividend cut, but it's a relatively low duration fund. It has an 11 and change discount, has a 5 and mid-change yield, and it's just a very, you know, it's attractive at a 6 and high change duration, which is about half of many of its peers. And so it's a great way if you're a tax-driven investor. Imagine if you're the 30-plus percent tax marginal bracket, the closed-end fund, muni bond funds yielding 5.5 can get you up towards 8-9 tax-equivalent yield, which if you're trying to hedge equity risk can be very powerful.
I am surprised that we've gotten 5 names in and that you didn't talk any business development corps, because you usually like them.
I do. If you let me squeeze one in, there's a really attractive good manager, CGBD, that I think the market has underpriced for the quality of the portfolio, if you let me sneak that in as a 6th idea.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so it's a 5 and change discount yielding 8 and mid-change, quality manager, Carlisle, knows how to write credits, and it's probably the best risk-adjusted upside to me in that sector right now.
Okay, so that's TCG's BDC Inc. That gets you the Business Development Corp, and they have an interesting structure, as John has discussed on the show in the past, which is why I was surprised we hadn't gotten one of those. And the one before that, by the way, that was KTF, which is the DWS Municipal Income Fund. Now we're going to find out how John feels about some closed-end funds that my audience is particularly interested in.
Play, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's Hold It or Fold It time with John Cole Scott, the Chief Investment Officer at Closed End Fund Advisors. It's cefadvisors.com or cefdata.com. cefdata.com allowing you to tap into the Closed End Fund Advisors database to find out how they feel about things that you are interested in. Now, if you want to find out directly from our guests how they feel about something you're interested in, you have to participate in Hold It or Fold It. You do that by sending your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to chuck@moneylifeshow.com. And hopefully it'll get into an interview soon. But every now and again, something stays on the list for a long time. I have not heard from Mark in Redding, California for a long time. He used to be somebody who was always asking me about income funds, and we still had one on the list. I hope he's out there to hear it, because he wanted to know about the PIMCO California Muni Income Fund. That's PCQ.
I mean, PIMCO is definitely known in the closed-end fund space as very good managers of you know, hairy credits and a lot of use of leverage. I'd say the challenge is it's at a 19 and change discount versus a 3-year average of 15 and change. So premium. And PIMCO usually trades higher than its peers, but that to me is relatively aggressive. And if you add up all of their leverage use, it's about 51% of the portfolio, because they use non-40X leverage, which lets them get to a relatively high number. And their duration's about 12. So to me, California's had a rough year. You can trade into other peer funds and get a 5 and change yield and not have the risk of a premium pullback on a potential dividend cut or some other event.
Yeah, premiums, by their very nature, they're not always avoid them, but...
Put that one on the psycho list.
That's a fold on PCQ, PIMCO, California Municipal Income. Rich in Orchard Beach, Maryland, wants to know about the Cohn & Steers Preferred and REIT Income Fund. That's RNP.
Yeah, so REITs, which I guess are maybe one of the first original alt sectors for use. Cohn & Steers, most people have heard of them. They have a couple of closed-end funds. They've been doing real estate work for decades and decades. This is one that has a little bit higher preferred component to the real estate exposure, but currently trades at a 10 and change discount, yield just under 8%. And it has a very good record of buying good things after the management fees and performing well. It's one of the best performing real estate funds we can buy. And anytime you can step into a 10 discount, if you believe commercial real estate has upside. And the benefit or the caveat is that preferred equity extra component is a little safer should we hit a bump in the economy.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That's a buy on RNP, the Cohn & Steers Preferred and REIT Income Fund. Mike in Falmouth, Massachusetts, wants to know about Stone Harbor Emerging Markets Fixed Income. That's EDF.
So this is an emerging market income fund. Again, trades at a lofty 15 premium versus a 3-year average of only 4 premium. How they do that, in my opinion, is they're currently showing a yield of 16+. And that's because many closed-end funds can effectively get an exemption to basically pay whatever they want. That's often done to avoid discounts, but in my opinion, with the net asset value down 12% this year, This is not a sustainable number for the portfolio and will have to be reduced at some point, and investors will not be happy, and you can see that go to a discount if it trades like historical dividend cuts have at high premiums.
Yeah. So right now, at that high premium, second high premium fund that we are saying, it's a fold. So that's a fold on EDF, Stone Harbor Emerging Markets Fixed Income.
So much crap, they had to start a second pile.
Walt in Raleigh, North Carolina, and Maynard in Phoenix both want to know about JMF. That's the Nuveen Energy MLP Total Return Fund.
So, I mean, MLPs definitely have their ups and downs in the last 3-4 years. I'd say that you have a change in the ownership base of the underlying MLPs, and you have a concern for the ownership of the traditional closed-end fund guts of MLPs. This one, not unexpected because of changes to the underlyings, reduced its distribution in the summer, but it's a Nuveen has hired a great sub-advisor here to do work in the space. They do really, you know, it's an 8 discount, it's a 9 and change yield, and you're getting a kind of a mid beta versus its peers access. And to me, it's a great way to still get tax efficient income. And again, we step into carnage. Dividend cuts are great times to buy funds you've been watching for a while.
Would you mind stepping aside? I've got a purchase to make.
That's a buy on JMF, the Nuveen Energy MLP Total Return Fund. And last, in the limited time we have left, for Dale in London, Ohio, it's Central Securities Corp, CET.
The CET is one of the oldest closed-end funds. It doesn't have a fancy yield. It has a very low beta portfolio. It has a large allocation to a private investment insurance company. And people, trade like an 18 discount, but that's very normal. I wouldn't expect it to trade narrower than a 15 or wider than a 22, but you're getting historical ownership of this portfolio. Its volatility is about under half of the S&P 500. Yet in the last year, it's up about 18% on NAV, and so it's not like it's a value play. It's got some upside to it. You're getting good performance of the underlying, but you're not overpaying for it, which I think is a valid concern for investors with markets relatively high.
Buy, buy, buy! Is that all you can think about?
So it's a buy on Central Securities Corp, ticker symbol CET. And yes, all we can think about is goodbyes because we have to say our goodbyes now to John Cole Scott. John is Chief Investment Officer at Closed End Fund Advisors. And John, it's always great to chat with you. Always great to look at your website and see all the things you got going on. Thanks for taking time out to join us.
My pleasure, Chuck.
Remember, if you want more information, well, follow John on Twitter. He's at John Cole Scott. Go to cefadvisors.com to learn about the firm, and go to cefdata.com to see how the firm might feel about your closed end funds or the ones you're at least looking at. We'll be back to wrap up today's show and set you up for the rest of the week right after this message.